Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. And off we go. What a night last night as your Houston Rockets had more first-round draft picks last night than they did in the previous eight NBA drafts combined. That was a Jonathan Fagan stat from last night. And oh my, got us some players, Lance. And Jalen Green is the guy, and that who we thought they were going to get. They ended up with Jalen Green. All is good. Thrilled about Jalen Green coming. But you know what? Some of the other guys look pretty darn good, too.
It was the experts. I know that Sengun, I think, is how it's pronounced. The Rockets traded a couple future first-round picks to move up to draft a player who was considered. And I was reading about him, you know, about 3 days before the draft. The top analytics-driven draft prospect in the draft prospect in this year's draft was not Cade Cunningham, was not anyone other than Sengun. And this is a player who is a Turkish player who played overseas, had great stats. John Hollinger said basically the odds of him flopping are nil. You had Chad Ford who just said he's maybe the safest prospect in the draft. Like, the hardcore basketball people who study the draft in analytics believe that he hits all the indicators to be a really, really good player. Now, why does he fall that far? I think part of it is there's a consideration about, okay, level of competition. What is his level of competition? If you see him play, he's dunking on people. He can do a 360. Like, he's an athletic guy. He is a good passer. He's most frequently compared to Jokic, so which is a great thing, obviously. So the Rockets knew, you know, and I told you yesterday, I had heard that they were willing to move up if they had a guy that they were targeting, and this was the guy. I didn't know it was the guy at the time, but they were willing to jump into the middle of the first round if they had the right deal on the table for the right player. And apparently they got it because they're willing to trade future first-round picks for a guy who many believes is not only a safe player, but a really multifaceted player who is a big. So that draft pick along with obviously Jalen Green were just two of four picks in the first round.
So Garuba, you get Usman Garuba as well out of Spain. He's a 6'8 guy who can run the floor. He's in the Olympics right now playing. Saw some of his highlights. He's very athletic. At 6'8, he's got some handles. He likes to run.
He's a physical defender, too. They say he is a plus defender. His offense is a little on the, you know, underdeveloped side, but his defense is very good. He's got size, athleticism, and defense.
And then Josh Carpenter, who is a out of Arizona State, another first-rounder. Josh Christopher out of Arizona State, who is a guy who, a 43% shooter in college, 49% in two-pointers, a 30% three-point shooter. Listening to Billis last night about him, they think he's going to be a better shooter as he goes along. He did start in 15 games for them, played in 15 games. We'll see if how well Josh Christopher develops for your Houston Rockets. We'll see if he can even get on the floor. They think he might be a guy that is a longer-term deal, maybe even a there was some talk, maybe even a G League guy to start his career, but we'll see. The thing about Alperen Sengun, though, is that he's a 6'9 center. Now, we're looking at his strengths and weaknesses. He excels as a finisher out of the pick and roll, but they say he's slow-footed and he's going to have a hard time with the NBA pick and roll.
I think defense could be a little bit of an issue for him. Yep. I think he's more offensive oriented. You know, I said this kind of as a joke to my kids, but it's not necessarily, you know who he reminds me of, and he's shorter. And watching him is like Frank Kaminsky at his best at Wisconsin, you know, when you saw him, Pau Gasol in the league. He's got a skill set. He's got handles. He's a good passer. He sees the court well. He can step out with some range. Like he's a true European player in that he is. You can't just put him in an easy little bin.
Yeah.
Where you say, okay, this is who he is.
It'll,
that's it.
It'll be interesting to see if he can, how he defends, if there is any low post NBA centers that are going to try to post him up, because he does have a size
advantage. I mean, he's not going to be a five. Yeah. He's a four.
He's thought to be a center. He's got a 7-foot wingspan. It'll be interesting to see.
I think it'll be a stretch four is what he'll probably be.
Yeah.
And I don't think the Rockets mind. I mean, I think more and more the analytics-driven teams and the teams, really just all NBA teams, are so much less worried about positions now. You're either a wing, you're a lead guard, or you're a big.
He did have an advantage in the Turkish league in that he had a size advantage, which he won't have. He averaged over 4 offensive rebounds a game. So it'll be interesting to see if he won't be able to keep that up, obviously.
Watch his highlights. Not great athletes he's playing against.
Yeah.
Like, not explosive leapers. He's going
different
over the top
in
of them.
NBA, I think,
yeah, that's one of the
Turkey.
That's one of the. But the analytics people believe that there are indicators in there that are fairly accurate in terms of being predictive for what future success may look like and the ability to translate to the next level.
Speaking of translate, unfortunately, he doesn't speak much English, so he has to bring a translator with him. Dal, were you able to check out? Did you see him on the podium?
So what did his translator call? What did his translator say?
You didn't see the Zoom call? You didn't see it?
No, I'm not shaking my head that I didn't see the Zoom call, but I did see a still of him with his translator, and that's what I'm shaking my head at. Your initial, it's the first segment of the show, and you already want to talk about his translator.
Well, I didn't see his translator. Is his name like? Is he a longtime translator?
I don't know what the name of the translator is. I don't know.
You don't know his name?
Yeah, it's not really per se his name.
Oh,
it's
their name.
And he says, I'm always with my translator on the court. I can handle it by myself. I can understand most of the things on the court. But I think the media wanted to know how often the translator would be around, because the translator is a very important part of making sure that we understand everything that Alperin.
Dale, do you want to just say it?
Alperin, I mean,
he's just going to keep dancing.
I'm not dancing. I'm just
She's got. She's a brunette.
Well, she's
young,
she's
pretty.
Turkish. Yeah.
Young, pretty. You know, good. Fit
good translator.
Fit, as they say in soccer. She's fit.
She's fit.
And she translates.
What does she run the 40 in?
She's fit.
Okay.
And I'm just saying, that's what you want to tell people.
I don't
just
want to tell people anything.
Say what you want to say about the translator. Rarely does a translator get first segment status. Just say what you want to say. Get it out.
She deserves first segment status. There's no question.
Attaboy.
There is no question she deserves first segment status. So this is pleasing that the Rockets were able to get this translator to come over with just two first round
picks. They didn't trade up for the translator.
If I was in the Rockets room, I'd be like, okay, we'll give up 3 or 4 first rounders. Let's go. You didn't tell me that this was whatever. He's slow footed. So, how many first rounders y'all want? That's we'll give them up. Okay.
Most people believe that the Rockets were Mike Schmidt, who is the big, or is it Mike Schmidt? Is that who the ESPN's new?
Is it Schmitz?
Schmitz.
Yeah, he is. He's their big new basketball analyst.
What did he think of the translator?
I don't know, but okay. I can tell you the Rockets draft, he considered they were the big winners in the draft. To pick up Sengun and Jalen Green, the most explosive scorer in the draft and one of the most complete players in the draft, it was a good draft. I mean, it was I was shocked the Spurs didn't draft Sengun right before or draft him at number 12. I was really shocked. I thought there's no way he gets past. This guy is such a Spurs pick. There's no way he gets passed. And once he got passed, you know, I was curious to where he would go. I didn't realize that was the guy the Rockets would be targeting. So, man, it was, It's hard finding anyone who is upset with what the Rockets did. The Rockets did not move their first round picks this year. They did move some future first round picks, and we will talk about that as we go on in the draft. But I know that some people are upset about that. But listen, basketball teams are built on individual talents and only a certain amount of them. You build around really, honestly, 2 to 3 players, and then you fill in the next level of types of players around their skill sets, what they offer, what they don't offer. It's about getting those players. It's not about having a bunch of first-round picks. Like, we just need first-round. If you're trading picks in the 20s, who cares? Go get guys that you know are core players. And the Rockets, I think the Rockets believe Sengun is a core player. So I don't mind giving up future first-round picks if it means getting my hands on a player that I covet as a top, you know, 5 player. I think the Rockets believe their board. I had a brief conversation with Rafael Stone, and we were talking about talent inside the top 15. He said, well, the great thing is our 15 isn't going to look anything like the 15 to get drafted. Like, whoever gets drafted, our 15 is going to look a lot different. And that lets me know, okay, I mean, in hindsight now, I realize this is what he's talking about. This player is probably way up on their board. Sengun was probably way, way up on their board.
Yeah. And here's the deal. So you give up two future first-round picks. Well, you got a first-rounder, so you actually only gave up one extra. And if dude is good analytically, if he can play, it's well worth it. With all the picks that you've got going forward, it's well worth that if you think you've got yourself a player and somebody that is going to be a core player for you going forward. You got bigger with Garuba and with Sengun. You got hopefully more athletic with Garuba. I don't know how athletic you got with Sengun, but you also got a guy who can finish and is a good pick and roll player. At least in Turkey, he was. You know what? I like it. The thought was, hey, maybe they could go after Dame Lillard and, you know, get this thing going right away. Maybe Dame could bring somebody with him. Maybe they could get rid of Eric Horn, do all of these things. You're going young, and I like it. I like going young as opposed to it.
More economical, it's more affordable. Well, and you know what?
We'll see how economical it is when they don't fill up the stadium every night, though.
Well, but your build, you fill up stadium with wins.
Yeah,
that's
and that's going to take a while.
And you don't have, you know, you're not in luxury tax mode. It's fine. Yeah. I would much rather build. Like, I don't have a problem with building through the Astros mode of young talent, grow your own. That's more sustainable for a longer period of time.
Does it and work it as feels well in better. The NBA other than Golden State?
That's a big Golden State. You mean the last true dynasty?
Well, right. And they did it through their draft.
That's why they're a dynasty. Well, they did it through the draft because it lasts longer.
Yeah, right.
That's why you can be a dynasty.
Well,
how much of Miami
early on with Dwayne Wade was all the first title?
Well, they traded the youth that Lance is would like to go get Shaq and accelerate their timeline.
Yeah. Yeah, but they use their youth to go get
a big time player.
Yeah. Right, right.
The problem is it's short circuits. Like, once you do that, and in baseball too. We'll get to the Dodgers in a second, but when you do something
other than the Dodgers, because they just keep buying whatever they want.
Yeah, what it does is, and really the Astros did it. When you do that, the Astros took. It's harder to compare the Astros because the Astros did such a great job with their draft stuff that they have this window open and they were able to use prospects. But no, I'm a big fan of going young, and you have to have the right, you know, mix of veterans and young players. You have to hope that you have good basketball character, guys who want to work hard, guys who want to be the best. It's not just about lifestyle. It's about winning and trying to compete and be the best at their sport. But if you get that, man, it's so much more. I mean, I'll never forget the 2017 Astros and what they've built since then. It's so fun to cheer for Bregman, Altuve, Correa, Springer, all these guys that came up from their system. There's something very rewarding as opposed to training for somebody who's been there a year or 2 years. It's and I like the Rockets are building it this way because it is built to last if you find the right guys. If the Rockets hit their first two picks with Green and Sengun, you know, then you got a chance to build something that's going to last a long time, like the Spurs. That's how the Spurs were built. Those guys are all draft picks. And you stay with them, and That's how dynasties get built.
Manu was the last pick of the second round. So you hit on a huge...
Yeah, but that's before people knew... That's before they really had a good feel for how to handle international
players, right.
Yeah, because Tony Parker was at the back end of the first, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. And Manu was the second, back end of the second.
We're talking about Hall of Famers.
Right. Yeah, which you don't hit on all that much. They were... That was phenomenal. And then you get Kawhi right after the Rockets pass on him. All right, so it's 7:15 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number if you would like to get in here. On the other side, are the Texans scumbuckets? We'll answer that question.
Whoa.
Yeah. We're going to answer the question on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'll tell you who's not. It's Jeff Aronoff. What he does is make that scummy house of yours or that scummy business of yours actually really, really, really good. What he does, what Jeff Aronoff does, is change it from a scum bucket to a place where you actually want to go, where it will actually improve the value of your home, a place where you can enjoy with beauty and elegance, marble, stone, brick, a granite, all of these different types of countertops. You don't know about these things. You don't know what's the latest and greatest out there. Jeff Aronoff does. He does this every single day. So he'll come to that business. He'll come to that home, and he will improve it so that you have value in that. If it's 10, 15, 20 years old, time to start upgrading, peeps. If not, you're going to lose money when you're trying to resell, or just livable. How livable is it? So you're looking for the best way to do that? 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. Absolute marble and granite.
Answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I have a big chip on my shoulder. You know, I definitely did. Like, you know, for me, it's like, I feel like I'm always being disrespected. You know, and for me, it's like I'm going to go out there and I'm going to show it. In my head, I'm the baddest dude there is, period. I don't care. You know, who else is in the NFL or anything like that? You still got to deal with me. And that's just how I act. But it's not just about me. It's about our team. And that's all I care about. As long as we're winning games and stuff like that, things will come. Accolades will come as time goes on. But it's about team. It's about winning.
Yeah. Philip Lindsay, yesterday, he thinks the media thinks that the Rockets are a bunch of scumbuckets. The Texans are a bunch of scumbuckets. I don't know. Have you ever called Dell? Did he get that from listening to this show? And you? Did you say that the Texans were a bunch of scumbuckets?
I don't think I've ever used that term before.
I don't know the scumbucket sounds like it's not something I really want.
Yeah, I don't know if he explains it, because that was what I played was the first part, because I knew we were going to get to the scumbucket part. Mm-hmm. Philip Lindsay went on, and maybe I don't know if he explains what a scumbucket is, but. Yeah. He definitely says it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you got a bunch of us. Like, think about it. Everybody come in here, and for some reason they think we're the scum bucket. I don't know what they got going on in the media. But everybody has something to prove, because there's some great dudes in there, and also they're really talented.
John thinks you're a scum bucket, Philip. He thinks y'all are a bunch of scumbuckets.
Yeah, I've never heard of scumbuckets.
Philip Lindsay.
I've heard of dumpsters.
You never heard scumbucket?
No.
Oh yeah, that's the term. Oh yeah,
it is
scumbucket.
Dell, have you ever been called a scumbucket or no. referred to anyone as
I've
a scumbucket?
I've never called anyone that term.
I know. Philip's not talking to me because I never said the word scumbucket before. Right now,
I 100% know he's. I've heard that, but Philip's got some juice now. You can tell he's got a little attitude.
Oh,
I mean, runs. You know what? He talks like he plays. That's how he plays.
Yeah,
with a lot of fire, tenacity, a lot of chip on his shoulder, and he's got that chip on his shoulder now. And you know, he does make a pretty good point. You do have some players in here with chips on their shoulder because they're looked at as scum buckets.
No one looks at them as scum.
Obviously, the media does, in his words.
When did we ever refer to these guys? Now, maybe they're journeymen. Maybe they were average NFL players.
That's what he's
maybe
talking
they're,
about.
You know, free agents that were second tier, we've been calling them.
That's
I don't ever
about.
Remember saying, yeah, Pierre Lewis, you scumbucket. Well, I never said that.
But that's how he interprets it.
What are you talking about?
Well, if you think that way about him, you're basically calling him a scumbucket.
What? No. Yeah. You're not calling someone a scum. I he's a scrub. I just don't, you know, that's an NFL player. That dude is at the highest level, even, you know, the worst major league player.
So you don't say phrases like certified bum.
Unless your name is a scrub.
So you don't say phrases like certified bum or certified trash?
No, okay. No, I don't call anybody a crumb bum.
I don't either. I had to get on one of my kids, like, he's certified trash. Like,
no.
So, what are you calling a pro athlete certified trash?
Relatively speaking, he's not as good as other major leaguers. Okay.
Yeah.
But you don't know. If you get to the major leagues, you're in the top one half of 1%.
Now, you can call opposing player certified bums.
Well, you're a trash ass.
But you can't say.
Dirty ass, trash ass city.
Yeah, but you can't say your own player is a certified bum or certified trash.
Why not?
Yeah.
Well, actually, there have been some comments that have been made at times in my household about the bullpen. That have been regrettable.
Have you not felt that? Have you not felt like tweeting it? And that Dusty maybe pooped himself or something?
No, I
you
don't
have not felt like that.
If I have something to think, if I think something,
what?
That's unprofessional.
Yeah,
it kind of is unprofessional.
You better be careful. People are going to think that's your.
No, that's not me. That was another host in this city that did that and had to be admonished by the by the Astros organization.
Imagine that. No, I just think. Yeah, whatever. I don't. What are we even talking about again? No, Phil. I like it. I want him to have his. I'm not out here trying to convince him. No, everyone thinks you're good. No, everyone thinks you suck. Let's go. Bring it. Put that chip on your shoulder and let's go.
Yeah.
I love it. That's you're most likely to get guys with playing with that kind of attitude when they have the chip on their shoulder, and I'm glad. Shaq Lawson, Kirksey, all these guys who have been cast offs from another team.
Malik Collins.
Well, he was a free agent.
But he was still not very good.
So
maybe
he's actually better than I expected him to be. Wasn't he
for the Raiders?
Wait. No, Malik Collins wasn't with the Raiders.
Yeah,
was he
went 1 year with the Raiders. He was not.
Hold
good.
On, then maybe not because I didn't like him coming out. But no, I liked him okay coming out. Was he a Dolphin? I'm getting Davin Gadshon.
No, he was Cowboys.
Malik Collins because they're the same.
He
guy.
Was Cowboys and then Raiders.
Yeah, Cowboys because he's Rod Marinelli, 4-3-1 gap guy. I want to get Shannon in here really quickly because we got some people who want to talk NBA draft.
We'll talk NBA draft. Let's go. Let's get guys. Ben was actually first. Let's get Ben in
here.
Hey, Ben, what's going on?
What's up, guys? Shout out to my boy, Seth and Matt. Hey, but I want to talk about the NFL draft, actually. Let's say for the Texans, right? Let's say they're able to trade Deshaun. How long would it take for them to actually be relevant? Like, I'm not saying, like, super good or anything, but just to be relevant. And can you explain to my idiot friend Lance on why the Texans need to at least play Davis Mills? Do you think that we should only play Tyrod Taylor? That's it. I'll hang up the message. Thank you.
I didn't understand what he
said. So
what he say
how long before the Rockets are relevant?
Not the Rockets.
Texans. Oh, the Texans. Texans. Oh, I thought he wanted to talk about the draft.
No, I think
trading Deshaun and using the draft to become relevant.
I think the Texans can be relevant. The Texans can be relevant very quickly. Your definition of relevant, you said, doesn't have to be good, just relevant. Oh, they can be relevant very quickly.
Well, in a couple of years. I mean, what do you mean relatively quickly?
Well, about like the Dolphins? I mean, if you get draft picks for Deshaun and you do a good job of hitting on those draft picks.
That's still a couple of years away.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah. No. Well, that's the answer then. Listen, they're not going to be good this year. And they're probably not going to be good next year. It's going to take you, and you know what? They're going to get the draft picks, hopefully, next draft for Deshaun Watson. Those will still be young players, hopefully good players. But you know what? This could be accelerated in a couple.
He said, I'm not saying good, just relevant.
Relevant.
He can be relevant much, much quicker than good, obviously. Relevant meaning, hey, this is a team we got to look for in the future. That could be as early as after the 2022 draft. It could be one season away. You play the 21 season. You get the draft picks for Deshaun Watson in 2022. You have free agency money.
Yeah.
You could be a relevant team before the 2022 season starts.
Well, hopefully, you know, maybe some of these guys that are scumbuckets, you know, these – well, that's what Philip Lindsay's calling them.
No, he says he believes the media thinks that they're –
oh, well, maybe some of these guys that were phase two free agents, some of these guys – maybe some of them will step up and become really good players. You never know when a guy is going to click, whether it's a good Lovie Smith defense. He's in the right opportunity now. Whatever the case may be, you got to hit on – hopefully some of these guys you're going to hit on. Maybe you're going to – hopefully you're going to hit on Nico Collins. Hopefully you're going to hit on – you know, who knows? Like you said, Shaq Lawson could be good. Malik Collins could be good. All of these guys that they picked up, maybe some of them will actually be much better than they were in the past playing different places. You know, I didn't watch nearly as much Packer football, but Joel thinks that Christian Kirksey wasn't very good when he was with the Packers. Maybe he'll
Joel would know.
Yeah, Joel watched every one of their games. Maybe Kirksey will be better here. I don't know. You know what? Maybe in this system. Maybe with this.
Yeah, you can't trust Joel. Well, he's the same guy who didn't think much of Giannis. So at least that's what I've been told through Thursday.
Plenty of people throw shade at Joel.
He didn't like Giannis?
No, not during the season. Apparently he was ripping him throughout the season. And then Giannis won him a title.
Maybe that's just old James Harden stuff left over.
I don't think so.
When he worked at the Rockets.
I don't feel like Joel.
You think all the
fun.
Rockets have to hate Giannis for winning an MVP? Because it seemed like that's all that mattered to the previous regime was MVP.
I don't think that was it. I think Joel was frustrated with Giannis in the middle of the season and maybe said some things
I don't know what he said. Joel,
that our listeners are caught.
I'm going to listen.
On,
if apparently. Joel is watching all the Green Bay games, I'm going to trust Joel.
No, I'll trust Joel.
And Christian Kirksey's on his third team.
I wasn't honed in on how Christian Kirksey was doing.
Christian Kirksey's on his third team.
Yeah.
Joel's probably right on that. Yeah. But I just know that the Texans can be relevant much quicker than you think. But it takes, as with everything, smart drafting and smart free agency. Mm-hmm.
He also said,
That's not a given, by the way.
Not at all. In a conversation with his buddy, he said his buddy doesn't think Davis Mills will play.
Or should play. It should be just Terrell.
I believe you to draft Davis Mills with your first pick of the third round, while backups do get drafted in the third round, to me, you drafted him. Don't try to get slick. You drafted him because you think that he could perform well above where you drafted him. You want to know if you have something that could allow you to use third round pick money on your starting quarterback, which allows accelerated growth all around that quarterback, and it keeps you cap friendly for a long time. It's a huge advantage. If Davis Mills, the highest rated quarterback coming out of high school and a former five-star, he's only got 11 career starts in college. If he can become a player, if his best football is truly in front of him, then they need to see some of that because you are going to have a top five pick this year.
Right.
I think you're going to have a top
pick. And hopefully you don't have to use it on a quarterback. But you got to find out.
That's what I'm saying. You have to find out. Because is Davis Mills better than a top three pick? I mean, I have my doubts.
Yeah.
Well, you better find out.
Who knows? Guys have outplayed their draft position before. We'll still see. But you got to find out. 7:30 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We found out about Craig DeSerf.
Yeah, and you know, back to your calls. We see you guys on hold. We love those topics, and I love the topic of what vehicle are you going to get. My wife and I, we went with my wife got out of a vehicle into the Chevy Traverse because she loved what I was driving. Right now, they have 0% financing for 72 months on select and popular SUV models. Available through Chevy, no monthly payments for the rest of the summer, so you get a little break from making a payment. They got the 2021 GMC Sierra 1500 Crew Cab model with $3,000 purchase allowances available for you right now. They have the 2021 Buick Encore. Are you ready for this? Price after all offers is just $24,410. That is a phenomenal for a crossover vehicle that is a compact. It's a compact crossover. You didn't think there was such a thing, but there is such a thing. And that offer is available to you right now, so you can find that affordable vehicle. Maybe you're getting your kid a car for college. Maybe they're going to go to college, or maybe you want to downgrade, or maybe you want to upgrade into a new car from that used car that you've been driving since you got out of college. I can just tell you that when you go to Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick, GMC, and Angleton, the way they treat you is second to none, and they want to give you the highest dollars for your trading value that you're going to find. So go to LanceZCars.com to start the car buying experience, and you can finish it out in Angleton with my friend Craig DeSerf over at Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick, GMC.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet and Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I did not know this morning when I woke up that I would be enjoying Netherlands soccer, but I really
Well, it's U.S. women's soccer.
Well, are they there too?
They're playing.
Yeah, that's who they're playing.
Yes, you can look at the flags up there and see.
Netherlands orange is unmistakable.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's a different kind of orange.
And it's, yeah.
So what you're saying is you didn't think you'd wake up enjoying women's soccer players? What are you saying?
Yeah. I didn't know I would be enjoying women's soccer this morning. I just didn't. But I am.
Well, there you go.
Go U.S. Go.
It's a rematch of the World Cup final.
Did you guys watch America's New...
Yes, I just told you. Yes.
Oh.
Did you guys watch America's New Sweetheart last night?
The translator?
No, not the translator for Alperen Sengun. No, I meant Suni Lee.
Oh, no, I miss it. Sunisa?
Yeah, Suni Lee is the... we have had... Mary Lou Retton was, I think, the original that I can recall in kind of in the modern era. I don't remember Nastia Lukin being America's sweetheart, even though she won all around. I do remember it for Gabby Douglas, obviously Simone Biles. Dominic Mochianu was kind of America's sweetheart, too. She kind of had that vibe. Carrie Strug a little less so, even though she had that incredible, iconic performance. I think Suni Lee fits the bill. She'll take over for the mantle of it went Gabby Douglas and then on to Simone Biles, and then Suni Lee will be the new kind of America sweetheart. And then who's the Dressel, the swimmer? He's not going to get Michael Phelps status, but the one who started crying when he was talking to, he's very, very good swimmer, was talking to his family, started crying. He is winning gold medals, which is a key.
He was on the relay team four years ago. Yeah.
And he was again this year. Yeah. He's
got the eagle tattoo.
Yeah, one across his left arm. Yeah, he's kind of on the men's side, and Suni Lee is on the women's side. Yeah, and I think moving forward, you'll hear a lot about them for the next 3 years.
Did you see Suni's dad? Apparently, she's from Chicago.
Yeah,
I'm going to tell Suni that I'm super proud of her. He told NBC5 Chicago. I want to tell her that no matter what, I'll support her, and I want to tell Simone that she truly is the gold because she let my baby girl bring me a gold medal. It was because Simone backed out. She won herself a gold medal.
So, maybe. I mean, Simone wasn't exactly killing it.
No.
I mean, Simone wasn't exactly
kicking
ass.
But Simone was obviously the favorite, and she backed out, and Suni Lee won herself a gold medal. So congratulations to Suni Lee. Way to go. All right, let's get to
You know the story about her dad. He was paralyzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. He's in a wheelchair. Yeah, it was a whole thing watching on TV. I still, you know, when I sit down and start watching the Olympics, I like it again. It's just, I don't care about the Winter Olympics. I really don't watch Winter Olympics. But Summer Olympics, I always liked it growing up. And, once I sit down and start watching, especially with one of my kids or my daughter or whatever, I still enjoy watching the Olympics when I get my chance. I was going between Rockets draft and NBA draft. One of my sons couldn't believe I was watching. Snacks is like, how are you not watching the draft? I said, I'm just watching a bunch of guys I don't know. Mm-hmm. We're 19 picks in.
I only care
about Rockets right
now. If you are wondering if these female gymnasts are going to be at all PO'd at Simone for backing out, afterwards, Suni Lee said she did it for Simone, that they're all totally behind her in what she did and what she was going through. So, all the people that were outraged about Simone Biles and not, doing it for her teammates are squarely behind her. So they're the ones that were affected most, not us. You know, watching gymnastics once every 4 years. It really didn't affect our lives. So they're the ones that were affected the most, and they're fine with her. As a matter of fact, they love her. So let's get Shannon in here. He wants to talk about the draft. What do you say, Shannon?
Hey, good Friday morning, fellas. I want to circle back to the first segment. Even though I'm not much of an NBA watcher, I certainly would be interested if you guys could make this little thing happen. I had an idea. Real soon at a presser or maybe a meet and greet, y'all somehow get Gilbert in there with a press pass and have him ask or throw questions to Sagoon and the translator. And let's see how that turns out. I think it would be radio gold. I'll hang up and listen.
We did, Gilbert. See, you have to know, Roger, we set up Roger Clemens and Gilbert. And Roger knew who Gilbert was. I think Roger was listened to sports radio, but he... And maybe he had some interactions with Gilbert before, because when we had Gilbert interviewing Roger Clemens before, Roger played along well. I don't know that it would play well, per se, in a guy who doesn't speak English and then the translator who probably couldn't understand Gilbert and all of those things. I don't know that that's the ideal situation. And then Gilbert would probably have a restraining order because of the translator. We don't need to put Gilbert in that precarious situation.
I'm sure he'd tell her to get him a Coke or something at some point.
Told that
hey,
to the owner.
Yeah, give me a Coke anyway.
The guy, the general manager at the time of Prime Social, he just brought his bike in there, and this guy's like, what's this? What's happening? And he's like looking at us like, is this okay? What is happening here? And John's like, it's okay. It's just Gilbert. And Gilbert goes, hey, bring me a Coke. And the guy goes, okay. And he looked at us like, John's like, better bring him a Coke. I don't know what to tell you. Better bring him a Coke. Can I ask you, so what country is Wendy in now? Is she in Cancun?
Home. No, she's home.
She's sick?
She's not sick. She's fine.
She in bed? You definitely, like, is she not going into work today?
No, she's coming in.
Okay, because I ask, because Chris adroitly comments, sounds like John Granato's on a heater this morning with above average looking females. And I wondered if Wendy, if she was out of the country, like maybe on a girl's trip to Aruba.
No,
or something like that. I would say above average is definitely it's fair and honest. I don't even know if it's fully descriptive.
Yeah,
the Netherlands.
I told you.
The
Netherlands are going pretty good. That's a team you got to pay attention to.
I mean, they're a good team. They're full of good players.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're
what I care about.
Their players just missed a penalty kick. Saved by the U.S. Now, still tied 2-2.
Then we'll get extra time then.
What?
Instead
of, I'm for the USA. I'm not for Netherlands.
I'm for this game lasting as long as possible. That's all I'm for.
What's the matter with him?
Let's get Reese in here. Hey, Reese, what up?
He's always like this, though.
Hey, Reese.
Coach, what's up?
Hey, okay, hey. Hey, I want to talk to you guys about the Brian T. Smith article. And in the article, he seems real emotional and got his panties in a bunch because they didn't answer the stupid questions that he wanted answered. The question that he wanted answered, and people are asking about Deshaun Watson, we all know. We know he's not going to play for the Texans. We know that we're waiting on the NFL to make a rule. You know, there's stuff that we know, and as a fan of football, I don't care about that stuff. I'm kind of over that. So to sensationalize the Deshaun Watson, you didn't answer what I want, so I'm going to go write an article. Because I'm some type of emotional and in my feminine side. I mean, I think that's childish. I think that's unprofessional of a sports writer in a major sports city. Man, write about the new position players, the new coaches on the team, the strategies that the coach is going to use coming into this season. Like, what type of running scheme, passing scheme? Don't be getting all emotional because the new general manager won't answer your questions, so you're going to go home. I think it's corny. And I think sometimes these writers need to be called out for being unprofessional.
All right, Reese, appreciate it.
If
Brian T. Smith thought that Nick Caserio was going to answer anything Nick Caserio, listen, I will give him this credit. He's consistent. He doesn't answer a question about anything. So to think that Nick Caserio was going to come out and be so forthright about Deshaun Watson – I don't know how you didn't see that coming. And honestly, Brian T. Smith, I'm not, you know, I don't know what you wrote. I didn't see it. I don't care. But to think that that Nick Caserio is ever going to give you an answer to any question, now you should know by now.
Let me do both sides of this, because I understand where he's coming from. To use your article as a bully pulpit, I think is, you better be very careful about using it for personal vendettas and agendas. I think you have to be careful about that. But in this case, and I totally get where you're coming from, Reese, I am extremely frustrated with Nick Caserio not answering any questions. He didn't before the draft. He didn't during the draft or after the draft. He hasn't in camp. Like, at some point, I'm not asking for a whole lot. I just want you to communicate. We don't have any other means of communication. I am very sensitive about this becoming a New England Patriots side. We already had Bill O'Brien in here who did his own thing, and it wasn't great. I'm a little sensitive to the fact that, from a fan base standpoint, you can't get any answers from your general manager. And it doesn't need to be this way. I see general managers across the league who give information. And I'm not asking for a lot of information. I'm just answering a question here or there. This act where you don't answer anything, like you and I have talked about, it's kind of, we made a joke about it because it's so bad. But why is he avoiding?
And what is Nick Caserio? Okay. Is he going to read Brian T. Smith's column and then all of a sudden he's going to open up about? No. It's Nick Caserio. And you know what? Just like Bill O'Brien and his coarse and bitter ways, this is what we got. That, you know what? We're New England Patriots South. It is the way it is. It's the way it's going to be. We can make fun of it, but to stomp your feet and be, I don't know. I don't know his article. I don't care. I really don't. I don't care. I'm saying is, that if you didn't see that coming, that and by the way, more questions yesterday for David Culley, and David Culley just saying, hey, you know what, and this is going to be the answer. We're doing it day to day. It's day to day.
And that's fine. See, this guy in Twitch, OG Frog from H-Town or whatever, that's every damn sports reporter in this market. Can you believe Nick didn't tell us who he planned on drafting? What an a-hole. Who says that? He goes, these reporters are entitled little bitches. Why in the F would he tell you all the inside scoop just because? That's not even what anyone's talking about. We ask, this is what I'm saying. This is a mischaracterization. Questions like, what do you think, is the same question that has been answered across the league and with this organization for years. How is the wide receiver draft this year? It's called one of the deepest in history. What do you think of the wide receiver draft? You're not talking about players. You don't even have a first or second round pick. You just say, we think it's a good draft. Rick Smith, who was very to himself on a lot of stuff, he'd answer basic questions like that. Charlie would answer basic questions like that. Pretty much every GM around the league answers basic questions. No one's asking you to tell us who you're picking in the third round. That's not even remotely close, OG. What you're saying is, hey, is Deshaun Watson practicing today? You don't answer that.
No.
We're going to find out in 10 minutes. Is Tyrod Taylor? You don't answer. Like, it's okay to answer questions, because this is how fans cannot. There's a very limited amount of fans who can be at practices now. Very, very limited. The Texans have cut out fans. Unless you pay them money, unless you're a season ticket holder who actively gives them money, you can forget getting out to a practice this year. That's over. They've done that too. That's, you got to pay now. Pay to play. It's a question that fans want to know. I don't think anything has been out of bounds. Do you think any questions have been out of bounds? See, this is an example. OG is an example of how soft fans are here, because the media is extraordinarily soft in Houston.
Well, yeah.
They're not even asking him hard.
Nine straight questions about Deshaun Watson and zero answers. And you know what?
And a bunch came from national media.
And guess what? That's our lives. That's it. No. So, I mean, I think what Reese is talking about is him whining about it.
Yeah. Now, and see, I'm not a big fan of doing that kind of stuff where you go to your platform and you get upset about that. But what I am saying is, at some point, it should be okay for you to do your job, which is just conveying very basic message. I'm not looking for trade secrets. I don't want you to tell me who you're drafting. No one wants that crap. All you want to know is there's some basic questions in camp, and these questions have been answered for 20 years.
Lance, guess what? They're not being answered anymore because we're New England South.
It's 100% because Bill Belichick taught
Nick Caserio how to act, and that's how he's going to act, and that's all there is to it. It's not changing. It's not ever going to change.
Well, this is New England. No, John, you are right, though. This is New England South. And that's the annoying part is that they're going to go into top secret mode where everyone is the enemy, all the fans. You only get in if you give them money for season tickets. I'm not a fan of that. I'm not a fan of, you know what, hook up your audience, your fan base.
Yeah.
748 here on the bench.
All right, why don't you right now talk about being a little charisma. How about if Nick Caserio had some charisma?
Charisma car-wise, not the same charisma. It's charisma, C-A-R. It's spelled completely differently. Charisma, C-A-R-I-S-M-A, charismawash.com. It's a car wash that is a little different. Well, okay, so it's the drive-thru wash, extremely powerful. And I know that because I just had to get dead bugs off my grill and get all that stuff off my window from a long road trip. And, you know, you get... your car just gets all jacked up like that. Well, I'm telling you now, the drive-through wash is astonishingly powerful and effective. And with Charisma, they have a deal going on right now where you get $10 off their premium washes. $10 off when you use the promo code 5975. 5975. This is, you know, it takes the Lava Wash down to $7, the Ultimate Wash down to $14. There's a new wash that's going to be on the way as well. And we are talking about getting premier car washes for less than $10. That's incredible. It's fast. It's efficient. It's very, very useful. And use it as often as you want. Use the promo code 5975. But it's going to be ending sometime soon. So make sure that you tell your friends and your family members, your neighbors, whoever it is about the promo code 5975. Three locations here in the Houston area. To find one near you, go to Charisma Wash, CARISMAWASH.com.
97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I don't know why, but Crazy B, and she uses the word, you know, the word B, Crazy B Asian followed me just now. I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know.
What?
Yeah. So I don't know what I said to make Crazy B Asian excited to follow me on Twitter, but something happened. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. And we've got Astros was starting a series against the Giants tonight. Huh?
Got some new pitchers. What? This is an exciting time. You've got new bullpen that we're going to see this weekend, I would imagine. You got a trip to the West Coast. Unfortunately, you're going to have Max Scherzer as a Dodger. I mean, and Trey Turner.
Yeah, it's not happened yet, but it will.
And you know what? Ken Rosenthal said they were this close to being a pod. The Padres were almost done with it, and the Dodgers swooped in and basically gave away their entire farm system for Max Scherzer and Trey Turner.
Listen, when you talk about a commitment to winning, I don't know that it exceeds the Dodgers. I really don't. I know the Yankees throw some dumb money around, though. What they're picking up Gallo and Rizzo. I mean, okay, because you really had to bolster that. I guess you had to bolster that lineup. Sure would be nice to get really good pitching, too, I guess, if you're the... But, man, oh, man, we want to talk about... I think they were trying to buy the Italian-American New York market with Rizzo and Gallo. But how many big power...
How many big power,
low-average guys do you need in your lineup? How much of that do you need?
Yeah.
We'll see whether or not it turns the Yankees around. It certainly is a lineup that you're like, holy crap. But picking up Scherzer because you can't pitch Trevor Bauer and paying him off, and now the luxury tax money that the Dodgers don't give a rat's ass about is impressive. It is impressive. They just don't care about money. They are there to win. That's the kind of commitment. And I'm talking to major league players, they're like, There was one in particular I was talking to. He's like, yeah, you know, there are just a handful of major league teams, and the Astros are one of them. They proved it when they went after Verlander, when they went after Greinke. We're here to win. We're gonna do it to win. And that they've stayed under the luxury tax this year is not an indictment on Jim Crane. I just think that's the way James Click went about it. And whether or not because they're not over the tax, whether or not Jim Crane put the kibosh on it, I don't know. But I do know that they have gone. There's nothing about the way Jim Crane goes about it that says he's cheap. He is not. He has never been cheap, and he will spend money to win a title. And he had to force his GM, actually, to get the Verlander deal done because he wanted it that bad. So, but the Dodgers are in a different league than everybody. Holy crap. Going after Scherzer and Turner when you have Corey Seager? And you're going to pick up Trey Turner, too? Holy crap. Well, now, Seager's always hurt, so, you know, there is that.
And Seager's also a free agent.
Yeah. Right?
They just got their new... They're basically saying bye.
So, Carlos, that's something that Carlos has got to worry about now is because Seager's going to be out there in the market ahead of him. So, Carlos better pick it up again with his hitting, and because Corey Seager is probably going to be... Well, both of them are injury-prone, so... We'll see. We'll see how that works out for both of them. But that's another guy in the market now that you thought Corey Seager was going to be back with the Dodgers, and now maybe not with Trey Turner being there. Let's get Neil in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hey, Neil.
Hey, good morning, guys. Two things I want to go with. One of them for you, Lance. One of them for you, John. First off, Lance, do you think the NFL is punishing the McNair family by not putting Deshaun on the exempt list and letting all this circus go on because they did such a crappy job of taking care of this team? And then, John, to you I would like to ask, the Simone Biles thing, put it in a Ryder Cup situation. If she was just knew she didn't have it and wasn't getting her job done, Ryder Cup situation, if I'm playing and I'm playing terrible and I go to whoever's running the team and I say, you know what, I'm playing like crap today, don't put me in the afternoon four balls or whatever and play somebody else. Is it possible? I mean, we'll never know for sure, I guess, unless she puts it out. But could that be the situation that Simone Biles went to and just said, you know what, I'm hurting my team more than I'm helping them.
I'm sure.
And I'll listen, guys.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm sure guys have done it. I'm sure coach, the captain of the team has said, dude, you ain't playing all that well. We're going to sit you in the four ball. Now, you got to play in the individual on Sunday. You're going to have to play in the individual matches, and maybe you put him out early because you know that's going to be an L. You don't want the whole thing coming down to him, the pressure, if it's close, and you got to have that win. No, absolutely. That's a pretty good analogy, actually. She was hurting her team. She didn't feel like she could help them. And she just said, I can't. I can't do this. So I want you guys. You're better off without me. And, you know, and I'm sure it's happened in Ryder Cup before. A guy just doesn't have it that weekend. And he's like, holy crap, I don't want to hurt my team. So, it's something that she's going to have to live with for the rest of her. It's something that, you know, everybody's got their own thoughts about it. Everybody's, you know, oh, she hurt her, you know, she's just me. Oh, she wilted under pressure. Oh, you know, she's courageous. Everybody's got their own opinion of it, whatever the case may be. This is something that's on her resume that ain't going away ever. It's not going away. It's not the same as Scottie Pippen refusing to go in. It's a little different, but that's on Scottie Pippen's resume forever, too, and he's got to deal with that all the time.
I'll just answer my question. I don't think the NFL's punishing to not be able to not put him on the commissioner's exempt list. The NFL's not punishing Cal McNair for being a bad owner or whatever, making dumb trades or allowing dumb trades. They're not. This is what it is. There's no precedence for putting them on the commissioner's list with what's going on right now. There is no criminal charges. If there were criminal charges that had been filed, if he had been indicted.
Well, you don't need criminal charges. Their investigation obviously has not proven that there's enough to suspend him so far.
I don't think they are. Yeah, right now they're not far enough to put him on. They're not at a place where they would put him on the commissioner's list. That's it.
And they can't just do that. And oh, by the way, and it's true. There's nobody ever been on the exempt list in the preseason. It's always a regular season exempt. Now, it may happen in the regular season. It may happen. It'll be so interesting to see, though, if the Texans get to the regular season and he's not on the exempt list, he's obviously an inactive guy. You got Deshaun Watson that'll be a part of your 53-man roster because you got nothing else you can do. He's going to be part of your roster, and you're going to have to put him on the inactive list every week. That'll kind of suck with him watching. Now I get it. You know, oh, well, Deshaun's playing safety, whatever. You know, he's not part of it. We know he's not going to be here. We don't. They need reps for Terod. They need reps for Davis Mills. I don't know that Jeff Driscoll needs reps, but they need to get those reps, those guys that are going to play. But if Deshaun Watson is sitting there for any amount of games on the inactive list watching those guys, you've got one of the best assets in the game just sitting there.
Yeah, that's what, but that's, he didn't want to play.
Yeah.
So that's what you're going to do. You don't, he doesn't just get his way and you'd get, well, I guess we'll just give him his $27 million and take 50 cents on a dollar for him because he wants it this way. No, you didn't want to play, so you'll just be inactive. And then we'll wait until we get exactly what we want in the draft, and that's the way you should do it. Anything else is you are not doing your job as Texans general manager. You must get what the value will be on Deshaun. And by next year's combine, it's going to be extremely high. Mm-hmm. It's going to be extremely high. If it's extremely high this year, then fire away. Deal them. But you wait until it's extremely high because it is going to be extremely high. Don't listen to these people who don't have any foresight into what happens in the draft and what happens with value of players. Deshaun Watson will bring back 3 first-rounders minimum. He's going to. You just have to wait it out if somebody's not willing to offer it. If somebody is willing to offer it, well, try to find a second suitor and get as much as you can, and then adios.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, he also has say-so, though, because he has a no-trade clause.
8 o'clock, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. Back to the Rockets. You guys want to make some if you guys want to make some points, you're more than welcome to get in here about what the Rockets did last night. More draft picks last night than in the previous 8 years combined. More draft picks last night than in the previous. Manny was pleased with it. Is that the same? Is that our Manny? Because he was certainly pleased with our Rockets last night and a new era of Rockets basketball. It is John Clay Wolf's. Well, this is his world. And guess what? He can be on tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock right here on ESPN 97.5, the longest running show on our air. And John Clay Wolf is joining us right now. What's up, John Clay Wolf?
The longest running show. Isn't that weird? I'm getting old, dude. How old are you?
Old? I told you that before. Like, how many times are you going to ask me the same question?
Hemorrhoids and...
Yeah.
And...
Yeah.
The works.
I mean, you have zero recall. You have no memory whatsoever. Is that what you're saying?
How many beers can you drink without being hungover?
A lot. I can drink... Actually, I don't know how many I had yesterday, but a lot. How many can you drink? What about you?
I think 7 is where the scale gets tipped, is what I've noticed. I've had a little beer this week.
Yeah.
I've been out in California again, of course.
My resistance is much better than yours. Yeah, much better. I can hit into the teens.
So is it like working out? Is it like lifting? I mean, you just work into it?
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what. Did you see the Netherlands just score against the U.S.? Oh, no, penalty, huh? Or offside?
Offsides?
Offside? Oh. Are you watching the women's soccer team right now, John Clay Wolf?
No, I'm not.
As a businessman, are you into the Olympics?
No.
No, okay.
I heard that people were shaming our gymnasts for being mentally weak and flaking out and quitting.
Yeah, you've heard that. Well, I'm glad you weighed in on it. So what about this? What about being mentally strong and selling your car to John Clay Wolf?
Absolutely. Talk strong, checkbook strong. Here, give me the VIN.com. If we don't beat your CarMax offer, I'll give you $100. You remember when I used to run that ad years ago for Shock Value?
Yeah.
I'll give you $100 or I'll kiss your ass. And actually, that was a really bad taste. You know, that was bad. That was stupid. That was low-hanging fruit to do that.
Yeah,
but it did work. It did raise the brand awareness.
Sometimes that leaves a bad taste in your mouth doing that. So, yep.
There's your segue out, boss, man. Have a good day.
Give me the vid.com.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.